Dear friends, turn with me this morning to Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, on chapter 1. Just one verse before us for our time together this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. My simple title this morning is Four Marks, the Four Marks of Every Christian. There are four characteristics, four significant marks every believer, every Christian should have in his life. But before I come to expound this, my dear friends, this is a great letter. The letter to the Ephesians has been called the third heaven letter to the church, because the expression in the heavenly places is only found in Ephesians. And certainly, this is also the letter of Paul, the man who was taken to the third heaven. We read that from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So, the third heaven letter. But this is also, in Ephesians, just six chapters, it sums up to us all what we need to know about the Church of Jesus Christ. What is the Church? There are three pictures of the Church given to us in this wonderful letter. The first thing we read that the Church is the body of Jesus Christ. That's in chapter 1. In chapter 1, the Church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning that Christ is the head. But in chapter 2 now, we are told that the church is also the building. But if you prefer, the word used in chapter 2 verse 19 is that the church is the temple. The temple. So you and me, spiritually, we are the body of Christ. Christ is our head, but we are also the temple of Jesus Christ. This is where he dwells. Of course, we are not just speaking about bricks. We are not just speaking about a shelter over our heads, but we are speaking about souls and hearts and lives. That every believer is a temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what is happening at conversion. You know, when you find the Lord Jesus Christ, something great happens in you. The Holy Spirit, the gracious Holy Spirit, comes and dwells in you and in me. So there is that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure every believer knows that the Holy Spirit is God. So God himself comes. You have that divine host dwelling in you. That's why, again, Bible says in so many occasions that we do not belong to ourselves. So, and the third picture, which is everyone knows again about that picture in Ephesians chapter 5, that the church is the bride of Christ. And when you read in the book of Revelation, there is that great expectation every believer should have, that Christ will come one day for his bride. He is the groom, and there will be that great reunion with Christ. Oh, the believers who have died, they will be resurrected from the dead. Their souls will be reunited with glorified bodies, and they will meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be sitting, and the Bible says that we shall be with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and certainly even greater than those great men, those great men of faith, we shall be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall see him face to face. So, three pictures you find in the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. But this is also a letter that summarizes for you and me the ministry of the Lord of Paul. From the comparison, if you are taking notes to make, it's when you read later Acts chapter 20. Remember, the city of Ephesus, this is the place where Paul has spent the most of his time. He has never spent 3 years in one specific place except in Ephesus. And you remember in Ephesus, 3 years and even more he spent there. And from Ephesus, through the ministry of of Paul, the gospel was spread throughout Asia Minor. So this is a wonderful letter. And if I may just lastly again entice you, if it's possible, oh, love this letter. This is the letter of Christian life. It is the favorite letter of John Calvin. So this is a great letter which really we can draw so many applications. So as soon as I stood before you, nothing prepared, but in my mind, in my heart, this one verse, I think, gives us everything we need to know in order to be a good believer. 4 marks are given to us in this verse 1. So I read it again for you. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul, even the name, we can spend really the rest of the day speaking just about his name, about his conversion, about how he found the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul, remember, this is his Romans name. And the meaning in Latin, actually, Paul or Paulus or Paulus means small. Small. You and me, we could hardly bear with such a name to be called small, small person. But this is the greatest. As I said last Sunday, if you recall, if there is after Jesus Christ, if there is a great man who has ever lived in this world, this is the man. This is the man, Paul. But how does he call himself? Not with an august name, but he just says, Paul. Small. And you can see so many times in the Word of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, of all the saints, I'm the least. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he says, the chief of sinners, number one, I'm number one among sinners. And in Galatians, or here in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, of all the saints, I'm the least of all the saints. But you see, this is the man who gave us half of the New Testament. If you believe that Paul wrote the letter to the Hebrews, then 14 books in the New Testament were written by this man. But how does he call himself? Small. Oh, my dear friends, I think he got the spirit of John the Baptist in John chapter 3, verse 30, where John the Baptist said, let Christ increase. Let him increase and me decrease. That's humility. That's humility. And if you know me, I always say to believers that humility is great power. It's great power. But for the people of the world, when you are meek, when you are humble, there is, look at him. He's a doormat. Everyone can walk on him. Everyone can tell him whatever he wants. But my dear friends, know to be meek, to be humble is great power. Because as Christ said in Luke chapter 18, whoever lifts himself up will be abased. But whoever abases himself shall be lifted up by the Lord. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Please, there are no apostles today. Pastor often reminds us that there are no apostles today. May I tell you why there are no apostles today? Just for 2 reasons. And if I can take you to Luke chapter 6, and that is a classic really reason why there are no apostles today. And there are 3 things I want to show you there. Look at it on the spot there. Luke chapter 6 and verse 13. And when it was day, the Lord Jesus Christ called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. That's the key which tells you there are no apostles today. Even before you come to Paul's letters or to the rest of the New Testament, there are 3 verbs there. Have you noticed the 3 verbs? The first thing, an apostle must be called by Jesus Christ himself. And the second, he must be chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third,
He must be named.
So that's really the key point. That an apostle is somebody who has been called, he has been chosen, and he has been named by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like to be called a sir in our nation here. Can I just go and knock at the door and say, oh, from today I'm a sir? It doesn't work. It is a nomination. By whom? By the prime minister? By a member of the parliament? No. Only one person is entitled to give that title to anyone. But you may limit the parallel, really, because the queen may call a person sir or madam because you have achieved something. But you see, to be called an apostle, it is by grace. These men have achieved nothing before the Lord Jesus Christ called them and chose them and named them. So that's the point. There are no apostles today. They were not named by a church. They were not named by a denomination. They are not named by a groupment of churches, but by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I turn you to the second passage. It's in Acts chapter 1. Oh, this is everyone knows. Everyone knows that there are no apostles today. When they were supposed to replace Judas, Acts chapter 1, verse 21, 22, 23, classic passages. They were supposed to replace Judas. And they looked among the people. As you know, they found two men. So it was not a number they were looking for, but only one person could have replaced Judas for that ministry. And they put the criterias, they put the conditions. What were the conditions or the qualifications or the qualities? That the person who should replace Judas must be a person who have walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. When? From when? From the day of his baptism. Until when? When he was risen from the dead and when he ascended into heaven to go back to his place. That was his abode. That was his place. My dear friends, let us be rational. Is there anyone living today or 100 years ago or 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago who have walked with the Lord Jesus Christ from the day of his baptism until when he was ascended to go back to his Father? Is there someone? No. But an apostle must be somebody who have been chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I wish I can carry you just to give you the evidence. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8, 9, and 10, Paul says, I'm the last. He's the last one. So that's why, my dear friends, if ever somebody comes to you and says, I'm an apostle, he is a false apostle. When somebody comes to you and says, oh, God told me to tell you, because I'm an apostle, he is a false apostle. Because now we have all the scriptures. We have all the word of God. I don't need dreams. I don't need visions. I don't need a prophet. I don't need a priest. I have the word of God. How does God speak to us? Oh, I didn't plan this also. But please, my friends, look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 will tell you how does God speak to us today. God, chapter 1, verse 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us. By whom? By his Son. And when you carry on in Hebrews again, chapter 12, it says that the blood of Christ speaks to us more than the blood of Abel. So how does God speak to us? By apostles? No. There are no more apostles. But God speaks to us through his word, inspired by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, just in passing by, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Nobody makes himself an apostle. It must be again by the will of God. So here I come. The first mark of every Christian, believers are called saints. Saints. And my dear friends, when you go back to the book of Acts, before believers were called Christians, that's in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, earlier
There were three names given to Christians. The first one, they were disciples. And a disciple means a follower, somebody who follows his master. The second name given to believers is the people of the way. The people of the way. Meaning what? Christ said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way. So that's the deriving, that's really the link, the connection between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are we? We are disciples of Christ. Who are we? We are the people of the way, the only way. I'm sorry, my dear friends, I meet Christians and they are still puzzled, they are still asking, they are not firm, they do not know really what to say. What about that religion? What about that religion? But they believe in God also. Where will they be after in God's judgment? It is like they are not sure if Christianity or the religion of the Bible is the only way. Oh, my dear friends, it is the only way. There is only one way to be saved. That's why Christ said, John 14, 6 again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. So you see, it's not a relativism. It's not that there is a neutral gear. You either believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or you are doomed and condemned. We say these things in the kindest way. My dear friends, every believer, thirdly, is a saint. That's those three names before they were called Christians. And when you read, if today, instead of dwelling on our troubles, your troubles, the trials you are going to face during the week at work or in your life, please just 6 chapters, very quick. It doesn't take more than half an hour. 9 times in this letter, the believers are called saints. But guess what? Is he speaking about people who were canonized? The Catholic Church canonized them after they died, and there is a great gathering, and we say, oh, we will call them saints. No. Have you ever sent a letter to a dead person? No, the letter was sent while the people were still alive. And how are they called? Saints. It is in plural. In the plural, it's not just, oh, today, the saint or the saint is going to speak to us. Oh, we must better listen. That's not what it says. Paul is writing to all believers and he calls them saints. But now, my dear friend, how do you become a saint? Do you have to perform miracles? Do you have to perform good works? Do you have to attend a pilgrimage? Oh, very simple. A person becomes a saint by repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. I will speak more about it tonight, but I can tell you that a person only becomes a saint by trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting from my sins, believing in his work on the cross of Calvary, that he paid the price there, the innocent one, the perfect one, taking upon himself the sins of every person who will trust in him. So that's the first mark of every Christian. He is a saint. But look at the second one. The second one given to us in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful. Faithful. The English language simplifies sometimes, some words. It simplifies them. What is a faithful person? Full of faith. That's it. You don't have to read a dictionary or to call a dictionary. A faithful person is somebody who is full of faith. And you can read that about Barnabas. Barnabas was the son of comfort, the son of consolation, the man who introduced the same Paul to the apostles. And He was a faithful man. When the deacons were to be chosen in the church of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 6, that's the early church, in order for them to be nominated or chosen in that great ministry, they have to be to prove themselves to be faithful. Oh, my dear friends, another example I can take for you is Lydia. Lydia in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, 15, when the Lord touched her heart, you see, it is the Lord who comes into the heart of a person, not by our own gestures, by our own merits, but the Lord must come and dwell in our hearts by the power of the Spirit. And when she was converted, she looked at the apostle Paul and Silas, and she said to them, "If you have judged me to be faithful, hospitality, dwell in my home." And she provided hospitality to them. You see, from the beginning, she was already somebody full of faith, not in terms of quantity, but she was full of faith. She had that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and her faith was proven how? By good works. And this is why we have to draw the attention of believers, all of us. Good works will never make anyone to enter into heaven. You know, that is what Islam is all about. You know what? That is what the Catholic Church is all about. Good works, and hopefully, inshallah, you will enter into the kingdom of God. No. But the Bible says, ye are saved by grace through faith, not by good works. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Once saved, we do good works. And once saved, again, you see, all the marks I'm putting before you, these marks are marks of conversion in a person. First of all, God declares the person to be a saint. He's separated from the world. He's serving now the Lord Jesus Christ. He's under a new management. He belongs to a new master, not anymore to self. But second, he proves himself to be faithful. Oh, if I may add to that, to be faithful means to be loyal. Faithful. Husband and wives are to be faithful to one another. Faithful and loyalty to the local church. Not being a butterfly. Visiting this church, that church there. But being faithful. You know, it's a good mark. I want every believer. If my desire could be accomplished, every believer should be a faithful person to his local church. This is my family. This is where I belong to. This is where I want to serve. This is where I will be disciplined. This is where I'm also fed. This is where I fellowship. This is where I relate to one another. Faithful. Are you faithful? The Lord, when he returns, good and faithful servant. That's the mark God is going to give you if you have been faithful in your life. But I must come to the third one. It's all in the text. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. The third mark, every believer is a member of a local church. And the people here were at Ephesus. There is not a single letter in the New Testament where it says the church of, but the church at. That makes a big difference. It is a big sin when you hear the church of this country, the church of that country, but the church at, dwelling in a specific place. Oh, my dear friends, in the kindest way again, in the gentlest way, can I challenge you this morning? Do you belong to a local church? Are you a member of a local church? This is how we put it very often. First of all, every member of a church is born again. That's where it's the beginning. You cannot be a member of a church without that. There must be a new birth. Christ said, you must be born again. That's the first thing. The second thing, once born again, I'm giving you the sequence in the New Testament. Every born-again Christian is a baptized Christian. the New Testament church doesn't know a Christian who is just a Christian and says, no, I don't need to be baptized. Actually, we are not saved by baptism. But we remember the Great Commission. What was the Great Commission all about? Go. Preaching the word to every creature, Mark 16. But also baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You see, it goes, conversion always leads to baptism. But thirdly, when you look at the New Testament again, every newborn believer baptized is a member of a local church. And that's why, from the beginning, the first prayer in the Church of Jesus Christ, it is in Acts chapter 1, it doesn't say there were 120 persons. It says there were 120 names. Meaning what? That the names were held. The local church knows who were its members. Member of a local church. And here, those believers were members of the church of Ephesus. But fourthly, every born again, baptized member of a local church is a serving member. You never read in the New Testament a believer saved and just watching, appreciating, admiring. As I often say, we don't come to church to admire anyone. That will be idolatry. We have finished with that. The Lord saved us from that. But we come to church to hear the word, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to feed our souls, but also to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord's Day is so special. Some people, they say, oh, on the Lord's Day, I should just sit and watch and rest. It's too much. But you see, we rest from the work which we are doing on every day of the week. But on the Lord's Day now, I want to do something that is great, which will have an impact into eternity. One soul saved, just one, will have an impact into eternity. So it's not a matter of I'm so tired, or because I'm so tired, the Lord will give me strength. If I'm doing his work, the Lord will give me strength. But my dear friends, I must really give you the fourth one and come to conclusion. Every believer is a saint. Every believer is a faithful man or woman. Every believer belongs and is a member of a local church. And fourthly, every believer in the verse is in Christ Jesus. And this is very important. You may just read it quickly, but remember that expression in Christ Jesus or in Jesus Christ throughout the New Testament is found 150 times. And guess what? 30 times it is found here in Ephesians. And if later you glance quickly in chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, you will find it 14 times. In him, in him, in him. And interestingly, the verse in verse 1 again, you have it twice. You see, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful. Now he reversed it. Do you see? In Christ Jesus. Why? Because he wants again to put the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ before us. My dear friends, this is not just a man called Jesus. He is the anointed one. He is the special one. He is the perfect one. He is the appointed one. He is God of the very God. God becoming a man, dwelling with us, and purchasing unto himself a holy people by his merits when he died on the cross of Calvary. My brothers and sisters, where do you stand this morning in terms? Maybe one is lacking. You need one in your life. Which one? in Christ Jesus. It is important because the people of Ephesus, you know what was the symbol of the city of Ephesus in that time? Vine. And an Ephesian man is a man who is in God Bacchus. And you know who is Bacchus? Dionysus, the god of wine. That was their pride. You remember how Diana, they worshipped idolatry in Acts chapter 17, 18, 19. Diana the Great. No, Diana is gone. And the temple of Diana was recognized. It had 120 pillars, great pillars, decorated with gold. And today, all those pillars are gone. Maybe just the ruins of just one of them for tourists to go and look at them. But where is the Church of Jesus Christ? The Church of Jesus Christ, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, you are a saint. You are a faithful man or woman, but you are also a member of a local church, and you are in Christ Jesus. Oh, may the Lord bless these few words into our souls this morning. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 440. Hymn number 440.